Wow. And all God's people said, wow. Wow. Oh, I brought my cup with me. Sorry. Let me put it back down. If you're online, we'll get this together in just a moment. I'd say it's unusual for me to be a little chaotic, but honestly, it's not. I would like to make an announcement that I saw at the park this morning that John missed. I see there's a sign there that November the 13th, I didn't notice the time, but Foley in the park will be having a chocolate and cheese festival. Man, I think God had something to do with that, no doubt about it. Chocolate and cheese together. Wow. There you go. Light and dark times. Jeremiah, it's chapter 31, verses 7 through 9. Light in dark times. That's who we are. Throughout history, there has been a remnant of the church. In the Old Testament, we begin to learn some of the concept of the remnant. And in Jesus' time, the group of disciples and those who would expand as that went forward, they would be the remnant. The remnant were those within the body, within the church, within the faith of Judaism and then Christianity, those who got it. Those who understood who we were, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. Your first slide there, Light in Dark Times, but I want to go on to the next one. This is one of a favorite book. If you've not read Love Does by Bob Goff, I encourage you to pick it up. I know I highlight books every week. Somebody asked me to quit because their wife keeps buying the books, and at two a week, at 14 to 25 bucks a week, that gets expensive. I have a lot of these, and you're welcome to any book in my office. Just let me know that you take it or holler, and I'll lay it out for you. Also, Kate Norris works at our library, and she has ordered some of these, and she accepts lists from us. So a lot of these you can get at our public library here in Foley. Bob Goff, this is one of the books, and there's about four that I've read in one sitting, and this is one of them. Bob says to us on your slide there, fear has the power that we give it. Hope works the same way. The world would love for us to give in to our fear. The world would love for us to give in to the fears that exist all around us. There was a famous pastor a decade or two ago who said, if we can give people something to be afraid of or something to hate, they will follow us anywhere. That is so anti-Jesus. And in our day and time when there's so much end of times talk, anti-Christ is anti-Jesus. And some of the theology we put out there today is so anti-Jesus. I'm hoping that from this book of Jeremiah, in that 31st chapter, we can find our way here through some of the muck and the mire of what Jesus' life is. It begins like this. The Lord proclaims, sing joyfully for the people of Jacob. Shout for the leading nation. These are the people of God. Sing praise. Give shout. Raise your voices with praise and call out. The Lord has saved us, his people. Those who remain in Israel. Jeremiah was called the crying prophet. Some of it the weeping prophet. But in the captivity, the best, the brightest, the beautiful, the pretty people, shall we say, were packed up and taken back to Babylon. Back to Assyria, back to these places. And those of us who are common were left behind. The ordinary were left behind. Maybe even the less than ordinary were left behind. Jeremiah was called to minister to these people. And I want you to remember this. I say it before, I say things again. The prophet is pointing us the way. If you take this path, this is where you'll end up. And if you take this path, this is where you'll end up. It is always this message of choice, but in every message is the possibility of hope. In dark times, the church has sang. During the days of slavery, some of the most magnificent spirituals that we sing today came out of these people who spent their week in heartache and toil and pain and in brokenness, but on Sunday they got to be free in their worship. And they cried out and they sang out. And some of the songs we sang today came from a people who gathered in the midst of darkness and sang the songs. The same was true of the Holocaust. Jewish persons and Christians as well, in this terrible dark times, in hiding, in searching for peace and hope, would gather together and comfort one another. In the worst of times, the light they sang and the song that, or the song they sang and the light they offered was step in here, take a deep breath. From the Great Depression, and there aren't that many folks who remember that left. Through the Great Depression, some of the most amazing hymns were written. Songs of God is taking us somewhere. God will not fail. God will lead us on. Through poverty, you have not heard singing until you've gone into a very poor, very poor church. While the tone may not be amazing, the singing, the volume just rings out. There is something to the remnant that gets it, that in the dark times, they sing the songs. I think what I'm saying to you is that in the times of darkness, the church became the deep breath. I tell you in prayer time, Kate and John do the same. We tell you to breathe in the Spirit of God. Throughout history, the church was at its best when it opened the doors and said, come in here for a while. Have a hot chocolate, sit by the fire. Take a deep breath from whatever has been out there. Set aside your arguments, unite your souls, and step away from the world for just a few minutes. The history of the cathedral across Europe had the point of worship, of course, and it was majestic and it was filled with art. The cathedral, Catholic cathedral in Bardstown, Kentucky, has art from Louis XIV, and the doors are unlocked. All the time. Fascinating, isn't it? But the idea was that the poor and the rich, the broken and those who have been healed, all had a place where they could gather and see the beauty of God's kingdom. The very creation of the cathedral was architecturally designed as you entered the door and you came in and there's the way of the cross and everything goes upward into the chancel and up toward the steeple. It was a rise to where your eyes naturally were overwhelmed by the beauty of the place and upward you looked. And it was warm in the winter. It was cool in the summer. The church was the deep breath. From all that life offered, from all of the heartache, from all of the hardship, this was the space where you could breathe deep. This was the lighthouse, if you'll look at the slide. This was the lighthouse that called out to the wanderer. In hard times, the goal of the church is to have a fixed point of light to guide the wanderer's home. Did you hear that? A fixed point of light to guide the wanderer's home. That's why I like a beautiful church, a well-painted church, a landscaped place to when people draw by, we catch their eye and they look into us and they wonder what happens in there. We woo them to the place of light. If you stand in the light, I know it's safe to go that way, but there is light, and well, there's light behind me. My son came in one night. I may have told this story here. I told it earlier. I had this flashlight that was so big you had a shoulder strap to carry it. It was like 10 million candle power. There was a sticker on the top that said, "Will cause retina damage." Josh comes in late at night. It's about 2 in the morning. He walks up to the bed. He puts the light into my face, and he turns it on, and he goes, "Bill!" I said, "What?" "The power's out." Who cares if the power's out at 2 in the morning, people? The light, when it's that bright, I can see glimpses of faces. If you're here, I see nothing. If you're here, I see nothing. I can see a bit of you guys on the wings. The light takes our vision from everything that's dark. When you sit around a campfire, you have a radius that you can see, but then there's a boundary, and beyond the boundary, you see nothing. I think the idea of the church, the temple, the place of the deep breath, is that we are expressing to people that if you'll step in here just for a moment, we'll take everything out there away. We'll leave it be. We are the deep breath that you need. A phrase that I'll use a time or two today, I want you to hear it. God is the isness of the was and the wasness of the is. Repeat that back to me. God is the isness of the was and the wasness of the is. And this becomes vital for a church because God always is and is always becoming. Theologically, I would say that this is where God lives, in the eternal now. It is as if at this very moment, at this very moment, everything created is expanding and going forward. Our text on the next slide will say to us, I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back from the north. I'm going to gather them from the east, all from the ends of the earth. And among them there will be the blind, the disabled, the expectant mothers, and those who are in labor. A great throng will return. Now, throng is one of those words we carried over from King James. Any of you guys having a great throng come home for Christmas? No. Maybe a herd, maybe quite a group of people are going to show up. In a nutshell, what this says is a whole lot of people coming over for dinner tonight. A whole lot of people going to show up at your house. A whole lot of people, I'm bringing them home. The prophet is saying, get ready, children. The family is coming home. The people are coming back. They will be lame and blind. They will be pregnant and making a long journey. Anybody ever picture, moms in particular, Mary's ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem on a donkey at 10 months pregnant? Can you imagine? Jeremiah is saying, Mary's coming home, kids, in great labor. Again, Bob Goff, you'll see the picture up there. Bob is a lawyer. This is from his book, Love Does. He says, it's always seemed to me that broken things, just like broken people, get used more. It's probably because God has more pieces to work with. There is something fascinating to a church that connects with its own spiritual, personal, emotional, mental brokenness. If you can connect in the places where you needed the Christ, where you needed God's presence, where you needed redemption, you will be used by God in great ways. If you can connect with those places where you hurt, you will find ministry just bloom in front of you. Holy boldness is not where you stand in this world on issues. It is not about how loud you pray in public or how many verses you can recite. It's about being able to take the deep breath and trust God. It's about being able to walk in peace through your life. It's about knowing that you get to love because you have been loved. To heal as you have been healed. We are the deep breath that the world needs. The place where they get to step away just for a moment to celebrate that God is what? The isness of the was and the wasness of the is. Look at that next slide. A whole lot of people are coming home. Put the casseroles in the oven. Get the vacuum out. Men, take out the trash without being told. Just get up and do it. I see a face. I think I know who said that. Oh my. Thanksgiving. In our home, it'll probably be at two different houses. It's kind of how we land sometimes. But at this house will be grandkids, and at this house will be grandkids. I remember last year, Stephanie and I somehow made it to the bedroom where all the kids were. Without realizing, the next thing I know, we're on the ground, and there's kids jumping on us. There's a whole lot of people coming home. The church that senses that. The church that senses that has a place for mission and ministry. Steve Solgren of the Vineyard Church, I know I didn't say his last name right, it is impossible to pronounce. He said that when God spoke to him about planting the vineyard and he was thinking of all the people he would want to start a church, he heard God say, Steve, that's not right. You go find the people nobody wants and I'll give you the people everybody wants. The next slide, with tears of joy they will come. They will come with tears of joy while they pray, and I will bring them back, and I will lead them by quiet streams on smooth paths so that they don't stumble. Jeremiah is describing the temple. He's describing the church, the place of quiet streams and smooth paths. Every church I've ever served, every church I've ever been to, has light switches on the opposite side of the door. How many of you discovered that if you come in this room at night in the dark, you have to cross the whole room to get to the door, to the light switch? Is that right, Wendy?
Absolutely.
You know, about a week ago, it's daytime. It's dark here in the daytime because we painted it dark. And the windows are covered. I come walking through here and somebody left a table right in the middle. Went right into it. I was walking with somebody who was expecting. I was grateful they didn't walk into it. I know. Bill, you sound like you're all over the place, but I'm not. We like to think it's all about us, but it's not. God is gathering children. God is on the move, and children are trying to find their way home. I call you kids because you are God's children. And everyone ever created is God's children. And we are the place where just for 20 minutes, just for an hour, they can step inside where it's warm and where it's cool, and they can take a deep breath. In the moments of hopelessness, they will find laughter and chaos. Am I irreverent on occasion? Yes. Was Christ irreverent? Oh, yeah. If you've been in my Wednesday night Bible studies, you've heard me post on the slide, and you've heard me say, beware of tricky Jesus. It's our joyful peace. And we will find more of it when we gather the people, when we gather the folks around us. Again, you'll see one more slide from Bob Goff. He says that nobody really aims to be typical. Most people at a young age, when they're in their high school, they're starting to dream of what their life will be like. Boys often picture themselves as ball players and soldiers and all kinds of important things. Goff says they'll kind of loop back somehow into ordinary, kind of like the circular train at the mall that just goes around in circles. And we form our big dreams and our great plans, and we seem to go back to the place of predictability, to the place of safety, to where we've been. But the problem is, most of what we do only takes us to where we've been. I heard once, read a quote, if you want what you've always had, do what you've always done. But if you want something you've never had, you're going to have to do something you've never done. We plan, we prepare, we program. The problem with us is, in the end, everything we dream, everything we plan, every program we create, every church we remodel, we know the next step is, I'm the next thing that has to change. And that takes a whole lot of energy. A disciple rather talks about where they're going, what God is going to do, and what the hope of what next is. What used to be has very little role in the life of a church. What used to be has very little place in our life. When Steph and I planted our church, it was actually three churches. I think you know this. One church was Latino. Everyone in there was Hispanic. There's very little English-speaking people. Just a side note, and if you're watching online, we found this interesting. The Hispanic people that we had no rhythm. And every time they sang a song, everybody jumped up and down and clapped. But out of the 100 people in that room, not a one of them was on the beat. The only thing I can describe it to you is a popcorn popper. Popcorn going everywhere. The other church was integrated. It was half black and it was half white. Its focus was on broken people. We used to joke at Christmas that our first Christmas series was called Welcome to the Land of Misfit Toys. The other church was an older church. They had about 20 people all over 70, probably actually all over 80. And we had adopted them so we could use their space and they would get an elder in the United Methodist Church, both to preach and tend to their pastoral care. The story was, at 9 o'clock we had the African American service, At 11 o'clock, we had the antique service because everybody that attended was an antique. And at 1 o'clock, we had the Hispanic service. Our first church supper, we got together, and we were all feasting on this array of food, of good Southern cooking and African-American soul food, and then Latino food. There were 400 hot tamales. Oh, Lord have mercy. And if you're a Southerner, let me just tell you what a hot tamale is. It's pork roast and cornbread in a sandwich. Man. So anyway, we all get together and we decide we're going to have one person from each group tell the story. From the integrated church, someone stands and says, I've never fit anywhere. I've made every mistake I could. Life has not been good for me and it's hard. But for some reason, when I walk in here, I feel good. It feels safe. I feel comfortable. The Latino church said, you know, we're not family, but when we get together, we love to eat. And did they ever love to eat? We'd have Christmas Eve communion, and all of us, what we would call gringos, all of us Americans would be gone in 30 minutes to get home for Christmas. Latinos would stay till after midnight. The last Christmas Eve communion they had together, they had 3 hams, 4 turkeys, and 400 hot tamales. There wasn't a bone left. So they stood and they said, we're not accepted everywhere, and for you guys love us and you let us come in, and we get to eat and we get to be warm and we get to be cool. Wow. And then someone from the traditional antique service stood up and they held out a 4-page document and began to read. We were formed in 1942 and our first pastor was with us for 4 years and da 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 da, and our second pastor stayed for 5 years. His name was, and we had a UMW. Oh, there's very little of our faith that looks back. For once again, let me say to you, God is the isness of the was and the wasness of the is. And our role as a church, is to be simply this, the place where people can come in and take a deep breath. We love on them. Sometimes we do so with a pat on the back or a hug, and sometimes we give them space just to be free, just to be here, just to sit. We are the people of God who offer a deep breath to the world in which we live. We are nothing more than that. And when we invite the children in last night, we could have given tracts and we could have passed out a sermon and we could have tried to win them to Jesus. Or we could have simply said, come in, kids, have candy. Come in, kids, let us just ooh and awe over your costume. Aren't you a princess? Aren't you a frog? Aren't you a horse? Look at you. The world aches for someone to notice and to go, oh my, look at you. They were rich, they were poor. And nobody cared. And unless you looked hard, nobody knew. And there were police cars and tractors and fire trucks. John was especially enamored with a fire truck. He kept staring longingly at the fire truck. John is a police officer, if you don't know, and he always takes opportunity to make fireman jokes, while Chris and I have wore the turnout gear and been firemen in our careers. Let me tell you this joke. Ordinarily, I'd tell you as a farmer. I would say, farmer's barn caught on fire, and he called the fire chief. But let me say it like this today. Policeman who lives out in Magnolia Springs, shed was on fire, and he called the fire chief, said, chief, come quick, my shed's on fire. And the chief said, well, sir, how do we get there? Policeman out in Magnolia Springs says, well, sir, don't you still have that red truck? Sometimes I amaze myself. You have no idea how important that laughter is. You have no idea how important it is to let somebody come in from out there and to sit and to laugh and to have someone be kind, to have someone go, ooh, look at you, in a world that's ready to eat their lunch every day that they live. in a world where they go and the boss is not nice and the customers aren't kind, you have no idea how welcoming. Come in here and have a chocolate. Come in here and breathe deep. Come in here, take a load off. Just breathe. No agenda. Nothing you want from them. All you want to do is give them a moment to laugh, to breathe, to rest. The Spirit of God will do the rest. It's a mystery, I tell you. But that's who we worship. We worship the isness of the was and the wasness of the is. Amen.